Focus for our sermon today comes from Revelation chapter 7. You can find that on pages 4 and 5 in your service folder. And grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. If I were to ask you where you feel safe, what might you answer? I have a guess. Many of you like living in the country out in the Morrison area out here, because it's a fairly safe place, right? Don't really have to feel sometimes that you have to lock your doors, you know your neighbors, don't have high crime rates like some of the big cities or other places might have, right? You could think about other places that you enjoy going, maybe when you're out camping, you feel safe. When my wife and I lived in China, it was actually a very safe place. Crime rates were low. People always talked about, even in a large city of 9 million, 20 million people, a woman could walk down the street in the middle of the night and be safe. Think about places that you feel safe. Maybe think about in your life, times or people that made you feel safe. I think of when maybe kids are having a nightmare, and they wake up, and what do they need? Need to climb into the arms of mom and dad to feel safe. Or even still today, maybe when things are hard, things are difficult, have to make a difficult decision, or just things have been rough, maybe you call a parent or maybe a close friend where they just lift you up and help you feel a little safe. Right? So you know of places that you feel safe, and you'd probably say here at church, you'd say, you feel very safe, right? Are there reasons for us to not feel safe? I'd say, not really, right? Until we maybe open up the book of Revelation and then see what God says of what is here, or what is coming, what we should be prepared for, right? We know that while the church, he promises, will stand forever, there are things that, even though he has to encourage us that it will stand forever, because there are forces that are against it. He talked about that in the gospel lesson. But in the vision that John has, we see a lot of things that are coming. And In Revelation 7, we're going to hear about these four angels, but previous to that, in chapter 6, there's four things that are a little more famous that we hear about. Those four horsemen, often called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We don't have that in our text, but shortly before that, it talks about those four horsemen, that they represent different things, of famine, of war, of pestilence, of death. You think about famine. There are places in the world today that it's hard to get food. Or even a couple years ago, where there are fears of food shortages, or even something silly like shortage of toilet paper, where people might go and hoard toilet paper because they're afraid it's going to run out. What about pestilence or diseases? There's fear of disease and things spreading around the world. War. The world is in this constant state of war, different places, and see a big war in Europe right now, right? And death. We know death is around us and the consequence of many of these things, but these are these four horsemen, these things that God says are part of the end times, right? So, do we think that the end times are coming, or it's important for us to know that we're already in the end times? These four horsemen, these pictures of what we're facing, they're here, right? The end times, really, we'd say, the New Testament era what Jesus describes as the end times are really the times after Jesus rises from the dead and that New Testament church begins till the time he returns. So why is it important, though, that we talk about that the end times are now? Well, those four horsemen and then what we talk about here in Revelation 7 about the four angels, sometimes people are like, well, those are things that are coming, right? These are things that, you know, things are maybe bad now, but it's going to get really worse. Things been bad for Christians in the world? Has the world seen horrible things? Think about the Roman world and what the Christians faced. Being crucified upside down, or even today, still in places like Africa, where Christians are round up and just killed because of their faith. The persecution of Christians is something that's been going on forever. We're in those end times, and it's important for us to understand that, yes, could things get worse? Maybe. But knowing that God is watching over and that these things have been going on, right? When we look at Revelation 7, he talks about what God is doing in those end times to protect us. He says this, "After I saw four angels standing at the four corners of earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree." He's saying he's holding back there. They're holding back those four winds. Just like there's the four horsemen, there's these four angels with the four winds from the four corners. Four in Revelation often represents the earth, the things, how God is working in the earth. It's important as we take Revelation that, you know, sometimes people take it very literally, but we know it's a vision, right? So we have to let the clear parts of Scripture explain the more difficult parts of Scripture. And we know that this is a vision. There's a lot of symbolism here. And so as we see these four angels holding back the four winds, we see God protecting his people. Even in those end times, even as there's a lot of things to fear and persecution, the angels are holding things back. And it continues. "Then I saw another angel come up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the forehead of the servants of our God." Saying God is protecting them and he's going to seal them. And he says, put a seal on their forehead. As I look out, do we have these seals, like these stamps on our foreheads to show that we're servants of God, we're God's chosen people? No, we don't have a seal on our forehead, right? It's representing what God has done for us. He says that we are sealed and saved. We're protected. So how has God sealed us? Well, you think of just even when you go to the store to buy something, it has that safety seal on there that protects it, that you know that this is good. God has sealed us and protected us. And one of the ways that he does that, think of one of the classic children's cartoons, the movies, Toy Story. Andy has these toys, and what does he do to protect them, to show that they're his? He takes Woody's boot there and writes his name on his boot to show that he's his. That's a way that God writes and seals us, by putting his name on us. How else does he seal and put a sign on us but through the waters of baptism? When we baptize a child or an adult, what do we say? We say we receive the sign of the cross on your head and on your heart to seal you, to mark you as a redeemed child of God. You're sealed. You have that sign and that assurance, not just through the sign of the cross, but also through the waters. That's where God adopts us, makes us his child. And he says that your sins are forgiven, and through those waters, that old Adam is continually washed and drowned, right? And a new person arises. That we're Christ. We are now his child. We're sealed and safe. Because that baptism, what does it do? It connects us to Christ. It connects us to what he's done for us, that he died for us and rose again. And so in that baptism, as we think about dying and then rising, we're connected to Christ's death and resurrection. We're sealed and safe. So those sins that we see and we struggle with, we can daily drown in our baptismal waters and say, Lord, thank you. I know my sins are forgiven because of what you have done. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're forgiven. And nothing, not my heart, not the things that I've done, not the devil who will condemn you over and over again and says, God can't forgive you. Look what you did again. We're sealed. We're safe. We're forgiven in the hands of the Lord. But do we live that way all the time? Do we live like we are safe? Now, we live in an area of that I think we're very safe, and God says he's going to protect the church forever, and we're protected, we're safe, but do we live that way? I think we often act like there is no safety, right? How does that show itself? Maybe as we talk about things and we get so worried that things are going to get so much worse. You know, God, he's not really in control. How can he let these things happen, or just look at where the world is going to? You know, oh, it was so much easier when we were a kid. Now this generation, oh, this generation has no idea, right? Or the fear of just, will Christianity, you know, people always talked about United States being a Christian country. Well, what happens if it's not so Christian anymore? You don't have to ask that. We're living in a world where Christianity is not so popular. It's not the cultural norm anymore. But do we have to fear that? Do you have to fear the other things going on in your life? The financial worries, maybe, of what's the stock market going to be like? Or what about my health? There's all sorts of things that we can be afraid of. We can fear. And it's not saying that there aren't tragedies, there aren't sicknesses, and there's not death. These things are real. Yes, there are sicknesses that can ravage people, and people can be gone in such a short time. But because we have Christ and the promises of what he says about the church, we have hope. We have an answer even in the midst of these difficult times. So we don't have to fear like the rest of the world, or we don't have to fear what might happen if this goes this way. And that's why we understand we're already in the end times. Could it be worse? Maybe. But God is protecting us. And it has been bad, and he has protected the Christian church. I think even just about, you know, what could happen in the United States. When I was living in China, and it was a communist country, right? Was there still Christianity? Were there still Christians and people who were sharing that gospel and sharing the peace of Christ? Yeah, they were. Even it was a safe place, and did we fear for our safety? No, but spiritually, was it a place that didn't have much of God or Christianity? Yeah. But we still saw, even in a place spiritually dark, how God was still working and saving people and bringing people into his number. That's really what the rest of this text is about. There, this number that he talks about and how he lists the tribes of Israel. He talks about the 144,000 from the tribes of Israel and then lists each of them, the 12,000 from each tribe. What he's telling us here is that we are counted among the saints. We are among that number. Well, there's a couple things, though, to explain to help us understand how we are counted, how all the believers are counted in that number. Again, remember, Revelation is a vision, so there's symbolism here. There are some Christians, or you'd say some people who believe that 144,000 is literal. I think it's the Jehovah's Witnesses that say only 144,000 are going to be in heaven. Is there a problem with that? How many believers are there in the world right now, let alone the history of the world? I think a little more than 144,000. So we know that that number cannot be a literal number, but it represents something. Well, what could it represent? Well, think about those 12 tribes of Israel, those 12 rocks that they stacked up in the book of Joshua, representing the Old Testament, right? Is 12 another important number in the New Testament? Those 12 disciples? My math is a little bit rusty, but you take 12 times 12 and you get 144. And a cool thing, even in that 12 of the Old Testament and New Testament, those believers, you get 3 and 4, 3 times 4. 3 is God, the Trinity, times 4, his working on earth, and that gives you that 12. But you have the Old Testament believers, Israel, the New Testament believers in 12, and you multiply that, 144. That's all the people, all the believers from the time before Jesus came, looking forward to the Messiah, and the time after the Messiah came, that we know and believe that he did come. And that, how do we know that also with the 144,000? Well, you get 10 times 10 times 10. 10 is the number of perfection. So 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. The perfect number. We know that it's not just the nation of Israel, because you look and these names, there's a small problem. There's two names of the tribes of Israel that are missing. Ephraim and Dan. Levi and Joseph were not parts of the tribes of Israel. So we know this is representing more than just Israel. It's saying you, those believers, all of us are represented in that number. And why is that important? Because there is a lot going on. There is a lot in our lives to stress and worry about. But when we look and we see that it's perfect, that through faith, through that faith that we are given, as Jesus talks about in the gospel lesson, that God works that faith in us through the word, through baptism, we're protected. That no matter what we may face, no matter what time in life, as we're getting maybe close to death, we can hold on to that truth, that perfect number. That number that God says from Old Testament, from New Testament, will be with him. And that isn't just 144,000, but it's all believers, Old Testament and New Testament. And does that include us? Yes, by faith, by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to doubt, we don't have to worry. We have safety. Even here, where physical safety is not hard to find? In another place where, or another time in the future where maybe physical safety is a little harder, but especially when there's a spiritual challenge. You will have spiritual challenges in your life, times of doubt, times of worry. But do not worry. The Lord is with you. The Lord is your Redeemer. The Lord is your strength. You're sealed. You're safe. You're loved and you're redeemed. And this is the message we get to hold on until our dying day, knowing the Lord has redeemed us, sealed and safe for eternity. Amen.